And good evening once again, everybody. Of all the extraordinary guests we've had on this program over the years, certainly no one has created more of a reaction from our listening audience than England's articulate, eloquent author and modern-day global Paul Revere, David Icke. David's appearances have always left people talking and thinking, and tonight we are going to go on another extraordinary expedition with David, who will take us on a journey to insight and to revelation that few can match. One of the most mysterious aspects of our society these days is the control and general conditioning of people through the mass media and many other means that few ever truly understand. The control of people is exerted, of course, through the entire gamut of our social fabric, from the money game, as David will explain tonight, to mass media entertainment, from TV to the movies. David is a former BBC correspondent, author, and lecturer, and is back in the U.S. for a series of seminars promoting his blockbuster book, Truth Shall Set You Free, which has already been tagged by more than a few reviewers as, quoting now, the most explosive book of the 20th century because of the remarkable clear-cut revelations it contains. Hello, David, and welcome back. A lot has happened since you were first here on this program a couple of years ago.
Yeah, very much, Jeff. Yeah, I mean, the first really network radio show I came on was yours, and a lot has happened.
Well,
so one of the things that I love, Jeff, is listening to the news bulletins at the top of the show, because there's always so much in them. There was a guy there I just mentioned called Vince Canestraro, commenting as a terrorist expert on the Peruvian story.
Right.
Canestraro is actually a CIA guy who was the head of the Reagan-Bush effort to discredit Colonel Gaddafi and make him out to be the monster, etc., etc. And Canestraro was also the man who headed the CIA investigation in Lockerbie of the jumbo jet crash, which came to the conclusion that two Libyans were responsible.
Yes.
And not the people that really did it. It's amazing how these people keep nipping up in news bulletins now as terrorism experts. You know?
And when that name came across that newscast, not very many eyebrows went up. It was good of you to catch that. He is a rather infamous character, looking just in the shadows of our times,
yeah.
Doing many interesting things.
Yeah. I also love Colin Albright saying there's an utter lack of political freedom in Burma. I mean, Albright's one of the significant players in America in this manipulation, and she knows a heck of a lot of things. Indeed, is helping to orchestrate a lot of things which create an utter lack of political freedom in America. And it's amazing. You talked to the top there about how things are projected through the media, and we get manipulated by it. What tends to happen is, from my experience anyway, if you look at what someone stands for in terms of their image, if they're up there in politics, it's almost the opposite that they actually stand for. It's like this game of smoke and mirrors. So someone who is actually orchestrating the destruction of political freedom actually talks all the time about standing for political freedom and focusing on other countries like China and Burma.
It's called misdirection, I guess. Yeah, misdirection. It's one of the oldest games in the book.
Absolutely.
The Heaven's Gate tragedy continues. More and more reports are beginning to surface that these people may not have committed suicide. The armchair critics would say, well, this always happens after something sensational like this. The conspiracy theorists come forward and start clouding the waters. Or they say it's government disinformation to further cloud the issue entirely. But I want to ask you a question. How has this been used to discredit the study of UFOs, the serious study of UFOs? There is already linkage, David, as you know, to this issue by the mainstream media, some of it, in terms of really condemning and casting a shadow on serious research. Let me read two paragraphs of a news story here to show you this linkage, all of you listening, more clearly. The Heaven's Gate cult mass suicide apparently has claimed another victim. An all-night rock concert and two-hour television special planned for the 50th anniversary celebration of the purported UFO crash in Roswell has now fizzled out, in part because potential sponsors were scared away by the deaths near San Diego last month. Heaven's Gate had no known link to Roswell or any of the events planned there for this summer to commemorate the 1947 crash of an alleged flying saucer outside of Roswell, but it apparently spooked potential advertisers. There's another comment right there, isn't it?
Yeah, it's another old method of discrediting something, and the Heaven's Gate thing has every indication, from where I'm sitting anyway, of being the latest in a long line of Jonestown and the Solar Temple and the group in Japan that was blamed for the gas attack in the underground in Tokyo, of creating events which discredit various things. For instance, you can, if you've got a subject you wish to discredit, you can set up an organization which purports to promote that subject, and then you make sure they do incredibly awful things. And at that point, not only are they looked upon with great hostility, the subject they were talking about is looked upon with great hostility, and therefore anyone else who is talking about that subject gets tarred with the same brush, and everyone throws babies out with bathwater. So I think what Heaven's Gate was actually murder. I have no doubt about that. And I think it was a mind control operation, one of an endless number around the world, connected to New Age and offshoot subjects and areas of thought. And that it was used to do two things: discredit the UFO research area, and I think, to be fair, the UFO research area does far too much to discredit itself by not having its feet on the ground.
Hear, hear.
And buying anything that comes along without question. You know, I think once upon a time, to start a rumor, you had to lean on the garden fence and tell the neighbor next door, and then eventually got around the town.
Right.
We now have a global garden fence, an electronic garden fence called the Internet, which can get a rumor around the world very, very quickly.
Speed of light.
There's a heck of a lot of disinformation being put out on the Internet, I think, which we're not filtering anything like enough. And it becomes conventional history, like a rumor becomes fact as it flies around the Internet.
How can someone learn to filter information that comes at the speed of light and in an avalanche of volume? It is almost, it's too much for the average person. We are on the threshold of needing much more brain power to process as much data as individuals.
I think that's one of the things. I think you can pound people with so much information that the mental processes can't process it. And you basically lose the power of actually looking at information and filtering it and questioning it, because there's just so much of it.
It becomes another form of mesmerizing people, doesn't it?
Absolutely. But I think the human mind is the most incredible process, the most incredible power. And we can process information as long as we keep our feet on the ground. And if we can't process information because it's coming so quick, then let's not react to it immediately. Let's put it on the back burner and see what happens. But, you know, I think the thing over Hale-Bopp was a very big lesson for a lot of people in the whole UFO New Age area to keep our feet on the ground here. I remember I was talking at a conference once in Denver, and just before I spoke, the story started breaking in the news of power outages in about five or six states down the West Coast and the Midwest. And someone rushed up to me just before I was going to speak and said, "Are you going to talk about the UFOs tonight?" I said, "What UFOs?" He said, "The UFOs that have been seen down the West Coast with these power outages. You're going to talk about it?" And I said, "Excuse me. I've only seen one news bulletin so far, and you're telling me this stuff." And it's this lack of saying, "Well, okay, let's just take it steady here and let's look at the information."
Well, there's such a rush to embrace things. There's an entire generation now of what I call quick believers. I mean, they're ready to jump. They never heard a UFO story they didn't embrace immediately, many of them. And if you think about semantics and word definitions, David, the word skepticism is almost a dirty word and a handicap anymore, isn't it?
Yeah. I think skepticism in its extreme seeks to discredit something and comes from a point of view of it must be wrong. And I think skepticism can go to that extreme and be a negative thing. But being aware and being streetwise and not buying everything just because it's there is absolutely vital, because the disinformation that is flying out around at the moment is there to confuse. What they do is they put into one side, if you like, of society, one view, and then they put into the other side, the same people controlling it, the opposite view, And what they're seeking to do is confuse. And in the end, if you watch people, I know my mother, you know, she's saying, oh, they tell you one thing about sugar, then they tell you another. They tell you one thing about butter, then they tell you about another. And basically, what happens after a while is people switch off from analyzing and processing anything. And this confusion is something that is that the internet is massively being used for. And there is an antennae, if we can get out of the head and into the heart a little bit, where you actually feel if something's right or not right. You feel if it makes sense or it doesn't. And that is beyond the head. It's beyond the rational mind that's trying to work things out on a data, names, date, places thing. If something feels right or it doesn't, and that's the space, I think, where you can filter endless amounts of information without having to go through the head all the time. If you go through the head trying to do it, you just lose the plot because, like you say, there's so much of it. And I feel that this is why this, getting into the spiritual side of the person, which has enormous capacities beyond actually the rational mind, that you can start to see things coming and feel things coming that the mind would miss because it's looking for the rational.
Now, Vince, I've lost complete audio here with David. I can't hear him.
How's that?
Okay, I can't hear him.
1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3.
There we go.
Oh, yeah, you got me.
Yeah, you keep dropping out. If I've stepped on a few of your sentences, I apologize. You keep, it's not your fault, but the line is not the best, and it's dropping out here and there. My point was, earlier on I wanted to make, and we've talked about this briefly before, and I don't mean to change the subject, but if indeed our taxpayer dollars, and we have every reason to believe this is true, are subsidizing a group or a number of groups of people whose job it is to sow disinformation on the Internet,
yeah,
they couldn't have an easier task. It has to be, and I mean, if I were being perverse, I would say it has to be rather fun for them to float these things out there at the speed of light and watch the ramifications.
I know. I mean, I get this this picture, this vision of people typing this stuff onto the Internet and with one hand while having their hand over their mouth with the other trying to suppress their laughter, basically saying, they'll never believe this.
Well, there's another, a wonderful mental image of a political cartoon right there, David. Exactly,
yeah.
Right.
And then the amount of things that we'll accept without question is quite incredible. And I was thinking about this the other day. If you look at mind control in all its forms, whether it's the fiercely individual mind control on these mind-controlled slaves that and children that are being used in very large numbers, or whether it's mind control in the military, or whether it's mind control of the mass consciousness, it's exactly the same process. If you look at what they did with MKUltra, the CIA mind control...
Let me ask you to pause there, David, please. We have to take our first break, and we'll come right back with David Icke here in just a couple of minutes. And welcome back. My guest tonight, David Icke, England's controversial, inflammatory, incendiary author who is again on tour here in the United States. His most recent book, And the Truth Shall Set You Free, available, and we'll tell you how to get that a little bit later, a real bestseller in an underground sense. Of course, underground only that Doubleday and some of the other big ones won't touch it. David, you were talking again about the numbers of instances of mind control, not the specifically the small groups that are being worked with, although it is small, it's thousands, it's obviously substantial. But I hear this over and over again. Let me pose the question to you. How big of an operation is this? Do you feel, and you have no proof either, but is it one or two groups, rogue groups within the intelligence community? Is it a, quote, company-wide policy that's been going on for a long time? Who's doing this, and how widespread is it?
Well, I think it's a military operation in the end. But you go to the top of the pyramid, it's the global elite, the people that control the banking and the transnational corporations, the political systems, and
yes,
it's the same people. But bringing it down a few notches, it's a military operation, it seems to me, in conjunction with the intelligence agencies. Because of the compartmentalization of these organizations, the compartmentalization of the pyramids, there are lots of people, the majority, in the organizations, the military and the intelligence community, who are kept in the dark of what's going on. But the more that I research this, and since we last talked, I've met a number of people who've given me some very significant information, confirming and adding to what I already knew. This is not a small deal thing. We're talking a massive amount of people now. And we're in the fourth generation at least of this, and what I understand from talking both to people who've been in the military and to people who are recovering, remembering mind-controlled slaves, which in very significant numbers are starting to remember. Some have been systematically deprogrammed, like Kathy O'Brien and others, but others are beginning to spontaneously remember. And I think one of the things that the manipulators have misunderstood and underestimated massively is actually the power of the human mind to break out of some of this stuff. And what I learned from all these different sources, unconnected to each other, incidentally, in different places and coming from different directions, is that we're talking tens of thousands at least of children that are being taken into these projects now every year.
Now, David, excuse me, tens of thousands a year, tens of thousands over 20 years, it's a horrible figure no matter how you analyze it, but this is getting to be of such dimensions and proportion that we would have to almost see a series of university-sized campuses to handle that many people. Now, let's realistically try and get a handle on this.
Well, one of the main centers for this appears to be, and again, this has come from independent sources of each other, they told me the same basic story, is China Lake, the Naval Weapons Center.
Yeah. So we're to think that, I want to stay right with this as you're bringing it up. We're to assume then, according to your sources and many others, that there are thousands of people, many children, who are being taken routinely to the China Lake Naval Weapons Test Area and somehow in underground facilities being put through these heinous experiments.
There's another guy up in Oregon called Fritz Springmeier who has written a book called How to Create a Undetectable Illuminati Mind-Controlled Slave, which is a long title, but it sums up the content, which is completely independent of my sources, that has come to the same basic conclusion about China Lake and many other things. Mm-hmm. Very detailed book written in conjunction with someone that went through these things. What apparently is happening is that under the ground at China Lake, which is a fantastic facility, I mean, it's a massive area, and I talked to one guy in the military, formerly in the, who was stationed there, who didn't know about the children's situation, but I said, what did you think of China Lake? And he said, without any hesitation, it's the most evil place I've ever been in my life. And you see, I think that the thing that we need to appreciate is this, to get the attitude of the top of the pyramid, which can begin to give us an understanding of how it's possible to sit around and coldly calculate how to play countries off against countries to create world wars and how to create the Oklahomas and the Wacos and stuff. It's the attitude of which these bloodlines at the top of the pyramid, the way they see the mass of humanity. If you take the example of the way the mass of humanity, in their way, sees animals, we overwhelmingly, as the great majority, have no problem with animals in cages. We have no problem with animals going to slaughterhouses in their tens of bloody millions and hundreds of millions every day.
Well, we have to pause here, and what we do is avert our eyes, and you're exactly right. We will be right back here with England's brilliant writer, David Icke, at the end of the line, on the Premier Radio Networks in about 2 minutes. Have you with us, David? No matter what you say, it's always interesting and provocative, and it makes people think. At least we hope so. That's the name of the game here, to stir up that gray matter, which is sitting in an ever more unhealthy state of disrepair.
Sure, and the point I was making before the break is one of attitude, to understand why people can do things in the world that we find horrendous. It's because if you take again the animal example, we do horrendous experiments on animals, and vast numbers of people support that because they say, oh, yeah, well, they're only animals and we must get better cures for humans.
Well, what's even worse than that, David, if I might interject, is we eat countless billions of animals every year in the United States.
Sure.
We eat them.
Sure. And so if you take that attitude that the mass of the people on planet Earth have to animals, and then you transfer it to the attitude this global elite we're talking about and its offshoots has for the mass of humanity on the next level, then you see that they see us in exactly the way that humanity in general sees animals. So while it's horrendous to us and unspeakable that thousands of children are in cages and undergoing laboratory experiments and what have you, and mind control and stuff like that.
You know, David, we don't...
It's not a problem to these people because they see us as useless eaters in the way we see animals, or many people see animals.
An exact quotation, useless eaters, made by Henry Kissinger, of course. Now, let's assume that the average listener out there, and certainly there are a lot of average people, look how many God made. He made... which is nothing wrong. But the average person would probably say, thousands of people, oh, I don't buy that, I can't handle it. Let's just say 100. Where do we have the right on this planet to abuse 100 children, let alone 1,000 or 10,000 or however many it is? It's very difficult. If you do it to one, you've done it to a million in my book.
Yeah. You've done it to all of us. And I think, first of all, the fact that people see themselves as average is a major, major part of the problem. There's not an average human being on the planet. There's just multidimensional infinity capable of being anything. But we are conditioned to see ourselves as average and ordinary.
That's right.
Before we live that life and we allow the few to run the world because we think we're ordinary and have no power and all that stuff. But
And it wouldn't be okay because God made so many of them.
Sure, and I think the children thing though can be backed up. If you just look at the numbers of children that go missing in America every year, who are not found. The number I said this last time I was on, but the number in Colorado for 1996 was 19,000 children went missing, 11,000 were found, which has left over 8,000 still unaccounted for. That's in one state in one year, and we get the idea, and I understand it that. Because there are missing children stories on the news every now and again, that they are the only ones that are going missing. They're going missing in their thousands in every country I go into. My very good information, I can only tell you that, is that one of the significant players in the Social Services Network of America is the military to ensure a flow of children through the foster home system, through the runaway hostel system, and what have you, into these projects. And another thing, again, excellent sources these are, is that they'll take children from detention centers, young people's detention centers, if they're of the right background and genetic background and personality they're looking for, and they'll just tell the parents, the kid has run away from the detention center and he's never heard of again. In fact, he's in a project. This is really massive. And what they've done now, and I've met some of these people who were programmed to do this, and they're having horrendous problems trying to cope with what they've done. They're mind-controlling people now and have done for some time, to actually abduct the children. So they're being abducted by mind-controlled people for two reasons. One, they can be programmed to get the right people and to do it in a systematic way. With the windowless van around the corner and boom. These people have told me we could get children off the street and away in absolutely no time and no one even knows what's happened. The other reason is if they are ever caught, there's no way back to the military because these are just kind of mind-controlled people and a little bit strange. And of course, it's just another, quote, nutter who's tried to take a child. So basically, the mind-control people are now being mind-controlled also to traumatize these kids as part of the programming and part of breaking up their personality. And it's a point I made earlier about the common themes to all this mind control at different levels. If you look what they're doing to these children and to older people too, sometimes, is that they're trying to wipe clean their sense of uniqueness, their sense of personality, their sense of who they are, and get rid of their natural personality and thought processes and what have you.
Well, that's rule number one in any military boot camp.
Exactly.
And we're going to have to pause, David.
Yeah.
and be right back with England's David Icke here at the end of the line. I'm Jeff Rentz on the Premier Radio Network. And welcome back, everybody. David, let me ask you a question here, which some people may also be wanting to ask you, and we'll open the phones in hour number two, 1-800-745-6655, toll free if you'd like to talk to David Icke. Is it possible that David Icke, as brilliant and eloquent and intelligent and well-studied as he is, might have been used or be being used to some degree to spread disinformation?
It's something that everyone has to constantly be aware of. All I can say is that what I'm talking about here has not just come from America. I've spoken in about 7 or 8 countries, something like that, since I was in America in the fall, including Australia and New Zealand, and I've come across the same stories everywhere. I have a pile of stories that have come from different sources around the world, different people and what have you, to show that this is a global phenomenon. And while I'm talking tonight about the United States, it's certainly not only the United States. And when you get a pattern that is so consistent with people in different parts of the world, from different backgrounds, and you, which you're coming across, telling you the same basic story, then I think it's time to look at it. I think one thing that we need to be very, very careful of is this scenario. It's a problem reaction solution scenario, as I call it. Create the problem, get the reaction, then offer the solution. And I think it's very important that this information about the children, which is going to come out big time in the next 2 years, and I think this is going to be the subject that's going to blow the ship out of the water, because so many people are going to be affected by these stories that aren't affected by other information about how the world is controlled by a few people. So I think this is the subject that's going to blast it out. And I found it interesting, just as a quick aside, that we talked earlier about Madeleine Albright talking about her and human rights while being one of the great abusers of human rights.
Look at
what suddenly become the mantra message coming through politicians in the last little while. Children, children, we must look after the children. And I think we're going to see more and more of this as the smoke screen comes. Interestingly, as these people are remembering and getting through their programming and remembering what happened, out of the blue has come this organization called the False Memory Syndrome Foundation, which is trying to say that therapists are putting these memories into these people and they're not spontaneously remembering. If you look at the people who have been involved in setting up the False Memory Syndrome Foundation, they are notorious, many of them, CIA mind controllers going back generations, not least a guy called Dr. Martin Orne at the University of Philadelphia, who was one of the founders of the False Memory Syndrome in America, which has emerged as these stories have started to get out. So when you put this together, Jeff, you've got this organization that's been set up very quickly and has got a lot of publicity very quickly to say these people aren't remembering what actually happened to them. And you see the stuff coming to me from different countries in different ways, from different kinds of people unconnected to each other. I think that a pattern starts to emerge, that this is a big-time important thing. But the point that I was making earlier, it's very important that this stuff is always put out along with the agenda of which it is a part, because I can see as this story's come out about the children, I can see, if we're not careful, that people who have actually been involved in doing it covertly will offer solutions to this problem, and it will be microchipped children. And I think that something I've written about in previous books, that there is an effort, a plan, an agenda to microchip all children at birth. And I'm now hearing this idea of we can stop missing children by microchipping them, then we'll always know where they are.
Well, you know,
seeing that coming out and being suggested, and I think it's very important that this story is put out with that proviso that the last thing we need to buy is a solution to this problem of with microchipped children, because that's exactly what they want.
Same thing as putting an ID tag on your pet, but a little more little more secretive. They have them now smaller than a grain of rice, the transponder, which allows surveillance on a worldwide basis of anyone who is so implanted. They are putting them in. I understand. I saw a news story on it. I wish I had it. I'd read it. But I did see a news story that they're putting these little tiny transponders now in women who have breast implant surgery so as to better monitor them to make sure they stay in the peak of health. It's most interesting.
Sure, that is definitely happening because that was on a British mainstream science program when they had someone on doing that who had it done to them. And, of course, there was the story that broke in Sweden some years ago, and I've actually seen some of the x-rays, where they were microchipping people who were going into routine operations.
On the website, www.endoftheline.com, if you want to go visit this program's own website and look under political intrigues and especially secret weapons, where it says you'll see a headline there that says, "No U.S. government mind control, ! Check that out. Follow to the end of the story. Go to the links, and you'll actually see photographs of x-rays of human beings in this country who have implants in their brains. I mean, they're right there on the x-rays.
Yeah, and I think that the extent of it is something that we've kind of missed a little bit. How long this has been going covertly, and it's now beginning to hit the surface, but I think it's a bit like an iceberg. You know, it's been going on for a number of years.
And what we're seeing, David, is really older technology finally coming to light. And what we're facing now is technology that will be virtually undetectable. And when you couple that in with the potential to use satellites and ground towers on the surface, which many people say are the Gwen towers, to do things by enfolding information into broadcast electromagnetic frequencies, they won't be able to justify spending money to break people down and reprogram them. They won't have to do it like that anymore.
Now, I think when you look at the difference between state-of-the-art technology and this secret underground development operations and what we're allowed to see in the public arena, that's another great diversion. If we think, for instance, the space shuttle is state-of-the-art when things far in advance of that actually exist. And I think on the microchip side, I think the microchips now, from my sources anyway, are far, far smaller than anything we could begin to imagine. And I've heard from two or three different people on my travels in different places that they are actually able now to inject microchips that are so small you can do it through a vaccination. That does actually make sense to me. There's certainly a reason why vaccinations, where if you look at the evidence for their positive side is at best extremely limited, why they're increasingly compulsory and why there's so many of them. There's a reason for it.
As you know, the Clinton administration signed a law mandating that all children within the first, I think it was 5 or 6 days of birth, be given the hepatitis B vaccine.
Yeah.
Now, why?
Why
is that when it's known that vaccines essentially don't work and the side effects and fallout from this vaccine is catastrophic? About 1% who receive it will die or become incurably incapacitated. It's truly amazing.
In the end, when you do take a step back and you get out of the condition response reactive mode, it's actually there to be seen what's going on. Someone once said, if you want to hide something, put it on public display, because then people won't see it because it's in front of their eyes. And I think if you look at all these areas we're talking about, you can actually see it happening. The point you make is absolutely spot on. Why are these vaccinations now compulsory? Why is the choice being taken away? Because there's something in them, and it's to do with mind control, and it's to do with mind suppression, and the breakdown of the processes, the natural power processes of the mind to assimilate information and to think and process that information.
Well, not even to mention the potential for genetic manipulation and alteration and control on a viral level, too. There can be viral proteins in there, genetics for viral creation at a later date, which it has been proven can be achieved by electromagnetic radiation if the proper information is enfolded into the frequency. So it's wide open, and as you say, David, it is really right out in front. Unfortunately, most people are too busy, too harassed, too stressed, too anesthetized with toys and games to take the time to really understand that this is important business and they need to pay attention to it. We're about to our next break. When we continue, I want to ask you about the UFO abduction issue vis-a-vis those who claim to have been abducted by U.S. military and other obvious human elements.
Yeah.
So what we have here is the possibility that the UFO abduction situation is far, far more complex and is not just being done by either those off-planet sources that are commonly talked about or our government, but a massive combination of both. This is a very intriguing and complicated issue, which is going to require years of study to really get a handle on. The late Carla Turner made it quite clear that certainly the military has been involved in a number of abduction cases. And we'll be right back with David Icke here at the end of the line on the Premier Radio Network in just a couple of minutes. Welcome back, everybody. Talking with England's David Icke, who spends about as much time here as he does over there. His book, And the Truth Shall Set You Free, available by calling 1-800-551-5328, 1-800-551-5328. That's Med Marketing, M-E-D Marketing there in San Diego. The book is $21.95 plus shipping, and a great book, one of the best books ever done on the subject of world control, how it's done, and the various agencies and organs that are used to do that dirty business. Now, David, with respect to the UFO abduction scene and possible, probable, if not provable, military involvement in SAME, what do you have to say about that?
Yeah, I think the whole UFO area is being massively manipulated. It's a subject that it offers itself to that, and I think a lot of human things that are going on behalf of the military and the intelligence agencies, directly human, are actually being covered up by this whole idea that it's extraterrestrials that are doing it. When you look at people really need to look at the research and appreciate just how sophisticated it now is to put memories into people's minds that they didn't experience, but when they're back in their conscious state, they're sure as heck believe they did with every fiber of their being. They're not trying to kid anybody. They believe it. And I think at least a lot of UFO abductions are actually done by humans, and then screen memories are put in of another experience that didn't actually take place. They just think it did.
Sure.
I think also with talking as we did a few minutes ago about technology being far more advanced outside the public arena than we're allowed to see.
Well, they say 50 years.
Sure, and until we know what the real cutting edge of technology is, we can never have a good fix on what people are seeing in the sky in terms of flying saucers. And I did meet a guy who recently who I really do trust. He seems very, very genuine to me. He has been describing to me how these flying saucers are all over the place, because there is a massive network of underground tunnels in the United States and bases. And one of these technologies that is well beyond what we see in the public arena is actually tunnel making, tunnel creating, tunnel boring technology using lasers and stuff. And he's saying that a lot of these major bases are connected by tunnels, very sophisticated tunnels, and that down there you find these things, amazing things that you think are extraterrestrial, but they're just human technology. And the more that that I travel and talk to people, the more I'm convinced that at least the vast majority of three-dimensional flying saucers, as they're called, that people see are actually flown by the military. And then you can go on to the next stage of this in the same way, which is the cattle mutilations, which people have said must be extraterrestrial, because we don't have the technology to do that to the animals in the way that it's done. Well, when you read research into this stuff, and there's an excellent book I've come across called Underground Bases and Tunnels by a guy called Richard Souder.
Yes, we've had Richard on the program a number of times, by the way, and you're right. We've got to pause now, David. I'm sorry to cut you off.
But just to make the final...
Sure, go right ahead.
I think, the idea that we don't have the technology to do that to cattle is ridiculous. We certainly do, and therefore the extraterrestrial thing on cattle mutilations, I think also, for me, is a front.
Well, it may be. We don't know. And then someone might say, well, you know, if we need the animal's tongues and eyes and sexual organs, we could just go to a slaughterhouse and get it. Why do we have to go out in the middle of the Nebraska prairie, pick up a few cows, drop them down mysteriously at the end of that operation in the middle of nowhere? So who knows? But at any rate, that's hour number one, and we'll be back with much more here after the top of the hour news. I'm here for just a couple of minutes with my guest tonight, England's David Icke, at the end of the line on the Premier Radio Network. Hour number two, the end of the line. Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jeff Lentz. We are talking tonight with David Icke here on the Premier Radio Network. David, the issue of one world control, the new world order, one world government, the global elite, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call it, that intentionally restrictive group of people that have been at this for a couple of hundred years, according to you and many other researchers, some people would say, you know, so what? We're headed toward a one-world government anyhow. We need it. It's because of technology as much as any other reason that this is all one planet. Why not move toward a one-world government? And to that pat question, let me ask you to respond.
Well, I think it depends what you're looking at. I mean, I have no problem with a global coordinating body along the lines of what the United Nations was supposed to have been, but is not, because it's being evolved into something very different. The World Health Organization, for instance, the medical section of the United Nations, surely is not coordinating body. It seeks to impose a certain medical norm on the world, which is the norm inspired by what's right for the transnational pharmaceutical corporations. So I have no problem with a truly coordinating body where people can talk. That's very different from what is being proposed here and what's unfolding, and that is a centralized controlling body which dictates from the center. For me, if we're going to have freedom, first of all, we need to take freedom back to ourselves. The next level needs to be freedom to make decisions that affect our communities and the people in those communities, taken by the people in those communities. And then whatever's necessary for efficiency and organization to go to a regional level or a national level or whatever, to go to that level, but always only that which needs to be coordinated at a higher level should go there. All the decisions that can be made locally should be made locally. And then you've got a very different situation to what you have today, which is people who are affected by decisions actually playing a part in making them. What's happened over hundreds of years now, particularly throughout this century, is the decision-making power that affects our lives has gone further and further away. You take the European example. First of all, it was local communities, then it went to cities, then it went to Westminster National. Now it's into Europe. All the major decisions affecting Europe are made by a few people in Brussels, and not by people who are affected by those decisions. And the next step, and you can see the journey as it's unfolded, the next step is to take it to the global level. And once you're having people making decisions that are not affected by those decisions, then what's best for people immediately starts to go beside the board. And I feel that what is happening in some areas, not least in this area that we call the New Age and stuff and environmental areas, is that the idea of one world, which is what we're all like to see, all getting on together, is being sold as meaning world government, world bank, world army. That is world control, not one world working in harmony together, which is a very, very different thing.
Do we have any real evidence to support the contention that has been made by a number of people that the environmental movement, among other movements, has really been co-opted, not so much by direct intervention and clandestine takeover efforts by multinational corporations, but by big money to subsidize these various groups? Has the environmental movement, David, been co-opted?
I think definitely, and I think if you look at some of the names that have been involved and the people behind the major global reports saying there's an environmental problem, something must be done, then the alarm bells very quickly start to ring. In England, I was involved in the environmental movement through the 80s, and I became a national spokesman for the British Green Party, so I was right in on the ground floor of the environmental movement. And I would say this, that it's very, very important that people investigating this don't get pulled into looking at everybody in the same light as those who are actually doing the manipulating. By that I mean I hear again and again environmentalists just dismissed by some people investigating the manipulation as communists and all this stuff, or just New World Order and all that stuff. And most environmentalists, the overwhelming majority, are extremely decent people who just want to leave their children a better, cleaner, nicer world to live in. So we need to focus, I think, so we're not divided and ruled among ourselves on the people who are actually doing the manipulating. And again, you're looking at a pyramid. And if you look at the pyramid of the environmental movement and you look at some of the background to it, this thing called the Report from Iron Mountain, which was supposed to have been a, and I believe it was, a report compiled in the 60s by 15 experts or so in various fields, a report to the elite on how to control people and centralize power without further use of wars. Two, and it's interesting because it's amazing the way these chats connect and synchronize the longer they go on, two of the things that were put forward as ways, this is about 66 this report was finished and given to the elite.
Well, it ought to be read in every high school classroom.
Sure. Two of the things that were offered as ways of controlling the population and centralizing power was one, a global threat to the environment, and the other was a threat from an extraterrestrial civilization. And if you look at both of those scenarios, they are a problem, a manufactured problem. I think a problem that's been being engineered and is being planted in our minds. You get the reaction, something must be done about the way we're dismantling the world's ecology, or something must be done about this threat from extraterrestrials, and then the people that have created that problem in the public mind then offer the solutions. And what have the solutions been in the environmental movement? It has been more and more global laws imposing things upon the planet as a whole. And if you look at some of the players that keep appearing, it's amazing and not a coincidence that the people that represent the interests, like transnational corporations and oil companies, the oil cartel, which are demonstrably dismantling the world's ecology, they are the same people who are fronting up the global report saying there's an environmental problem, something must be done. They were behind the creation of the Club of Rome, which is part of the Bilderberg Council on Foreign Relations, Royal Institute of International Affairs, Trilateral Commission Network, which made a lot of play through the 70s to get the environmental thing moving. And then you come across this guy, Maurice Strong, a Canadian oil millionaire and a front for the Rothschild Rockefeller cartel, except
number two man.
UN environmental head of the UN Environment Agency. He was the guy that was the head of the 1992 Earth Summit in Brazil. And then you look at the Worldwide Fund for Nature, which was set up by Prince Philip, a Bilderberger, and I think someone is involved here on a not the top of the pyramid, but involved. And he set it up with a guy called Prince Bernhard, his blood relation from the Dutch royal family, who is a notorious player in this and was one of the people that set up the Bilderberg Group and the European Economic Community, now the European Union. So when you see these names that come up in all these other areas also appearing in the environmental situation, then it's very clear that the environmental, the genuineness of environmentalists is being manipulated, and there's nothing more manipulatable than genuineness that isn't streetwise.
I noticed that there was an effort by the Brazilians to withstand the transnational takeover of their natural resources recently. I don't know how successful it was, but what happens is these developing nations borrow, as you know, huge, giant amounts of money that, what was it, never existed, never will exist? How does it go?
Yeah, well, basically, this is the story of how the environment has been used to take tremendous amounts of land out of ownership by third world countries into the ownership of this cartel is a classic example not only of how the money system works, but how this agenda unfolds not over a matter of days or a matter of weeks, but over a very, very long period of time. And I think it's worth emphasizing this, this point, that what we're talking about here is an agenda. It's an agenda that has been known about for a very long time and has been unfolding for a very long time. It's not actually a conspiracy at its foundation. It's an agenda. The conspiracy comes in conspiring to bring about events, to put people in positions of power that will help to make that agenda reality.
Well, sure, confederate.
And also to conspire to take out and discredit anyone who is a threat to that agenda.
Very easily done.
Sure. And this has been, this agenda is unfolding for a very long time. So when you get the scenario of how the third world countries have been stitched up and manipulated to the present point of land being taken away, you can actually go back to at least to the oil price hike in the 70s, when vast amounts of money, or what we call money, became available because the Bilderbergers and people like this made the decision to increase the price of oil by something like 400%. And they said to the Arab countries, we will do this if you agree to invest your money, your fantastically increased wealth as a result of this, in certain banks. These banks created arm's-length companies to handle this money, and this was the money that was lent through the 70s and 80s, and as you quite rightly say, fantastic amounts to third world governments, many of which had elite frontmen in charge.
Yes.
And the idea was for those third world governments not to be able to pay the debt back. That
of
was
course.
The point.
Of course.
And now we've reached the point where the sting is coming, where they're saying, okay, we'll forgive the debt or chunks of it in return for this wilderness land or this area of natural resource.
That's
and basically,
right.
The third world's being raped as a result of the third world debt, and that's exactly what was planned from day one.
Pretty clever, huh?
Very clever. I mean, we underestimate the intellectual capacity at our peril, really. It's a spiritual desert, but it's intellectually something to...
And they're very happy, as you pointed out, to wait years, decades, for these things to come home to roost. They're long-term planners, and that's where most of us are at a disadvantage because we can't see the big picture.
Yeah, and like I say, you know, I would not just take this back hundreds of years to the formation of the so-called Bavarian Illuminati in 1776. I would say that was another point on the road. I would take this back thousands of years at least. This baton has been passed on across the generations and the bloodlines of this elite, and we're just seeing the modern expression of it now as it starts to focus in on its long-term ambition, which was total global control of the world and of the human mind. But the money thing is the basis of it, and I think if anything sums up how we've given our power away and lost the plot of what's going on in the world, is how the vast majority, overwhelming 99.99% of people in the world, have no idea how money is created. And it's created not by governments printing money, but by private banking cartels owned by the same people issuing non-existent fresh air called credit. And what we've done, and the American example is a fantastic one, is we've given complete power over the unit of exchange, which allows us to eat and have a home and what have you, to a cartel of private banks owned by the same people. The American government could print its own money interest-free and put into circulation interest-free, and immediately the billions and billions of dollars that federal taxpayers pay in interest alone on the federal debt every year would disappear because we wouldn't have any interest to pay. Because the politicians, the Clintons and the Bushes, are controlled by the same people that control the banks, instead of that, the government issues a treasury bond, a treasury bill, an IOU to the Federal Reserve, which is a cartel of private banks, not the Central Bank of America. And all the Federal Reserve do at that time is type whatever is on the IOU from the government into the government's account. That's all it does. It doesn't print any... have any money printed, it doesn't have any coins minted, it doesn't have any precious metal moved anywhere to that loan. It just types it into a screen.
All done with a few strokes of a computer keyboard anymore. It's just absolutely beyond belief. And what we're going to do is take a break here in a few moments and come back and spend much more time with David Icke. If you want to call in, 1-800-745-6655. If you're not plastered back against your chair with incredulity, pick up the phone and call us. We'll be happy to hear from you. David's book and The Truth Shall Set You Free, available 1-800-551-5328. I'm Jeff Rentz. This is The End of the Line, and we'll be right back. And we are back. Once again, the phone number for David Icke's book, 1-800-551-5328, and The Truth Shall Set You Free. And the truth shall certainly make you nervous, too. Right, David?
Yeah, but I think that to an extent, being shocked a little bit is pretty good for us, as long as we don't get completely kind of thrown. Because the complacency is the thing that allows this thing to happen. Like I said earlier in the interview, if you look at the way mind control happens, it's taking away someone's uniqueness and turning them into a reactive personality. You quite rightly made the point that that's what happens in the military. Exactly. You're trying to take away someone's natural process of thought, of response, of thinking things through, and turn them into a reactive personality, the yes sir personality. And then on the mass scale, exactly the same thing's done through the education system and the media and what have you. It's to take away people's sense of uniqueness, so they see themselves as ordinary and powerless and just in the control of some other flow beyond that.
Well, in point of fact, they are, because we are, as a society, a reactive society. We're given stimuli and expected to respond to it, like Pavlov's dog, the same thing. Watch TV commercials, watch the films.
Sure.
It doesn't matter. It's we are not a thinking society anymore. We are a reacting, consuming society. Therein lies the grave problem that we face.
Yeah, that's why it's in our hands, or it's in our minds. For me, the world is thought made physical. If you look at anything in the world that happens physically, it's the reaction or a response to thought. This interview tonight is thought made physical. You know, there's people out there who think or thought to listen to the program. There's people that thought to set up this radio station at some point. I thought that it's a good show to talk on. You thought to start the show in the first place. What's happening now, the second on this program, is thought made physical. So everything that happens in the physical world is the reflection physically of thought. So if we are thinking on a fraction of our potential, if we are living in our own inner prisons, fear of what other people think of us, fear of this, fear of that, if we are trying to tell everyone else what they should think and do and say, therefore trying to imprison them into the same prison that we're in, then what that happens when that thought pattern goes around the planet is you create a planet that's basically a prison of limitation and lack of vision of what we really could be. And if anything, the thought or the feeling that is most reflected in the world is fear. Fear is the basis of the control, frightening people and what have you, and also it's the basis of how the whole Illuminati thing works, because there's no one more frightened of consequences than those the higher you go up the pyramid, because the stakes and the rewards get bigger, but the consequences for falling out of favor are greater the higher you go. So the whole thing is about fear interacting with itself. And if we can step out of fear and start thinking for ourselves and being who we are, stop being sheep, stop being a herd, then this whole thing falls apart that we're talking about tonight, because it's based and only based on us being in that herd mentality. When we cease to be, then immediately the whole basis of it falls, because you can't control, take a farmer and a sheepdog, you can't control hundreds of sheep who are expressing their individuality and not succumbing to fear. You can't do it. You can do it, however, if they suppress their individuality and follow the one in front and those few that don't immediately do that succumb to the fear from the sheepdog. So it's in our hands, and it's in our minds, and it's in our hearts. And again, it's like we said earlier, if you take a step back and you just see it calmly from afar, you can see that the simple fact is that a very small handful of people can only control 5 billion in terms of the direction of their lives, because the 5 billion allow it to happen. It cannot happen unless we allow it to.
Unless, as some people say, though, David, the technology is so advanced now that these very base emotions, such as fear, can be instilled in people without their permission, desire, or knowledge, and it can be done through electromagnetic means. This has been demonstrated already, according to people I've spoken to years ago. So we have a problem here. We have your message, which is one of hope, growth, and awareness, and awakening, and then we have the potential of technology overriding that. So it's a very complex world we live in. We're going to pause here now for just a couple of moments and come right back with Mr. David Icke here at the end of the line on the Premier Radio Network. Back with England's David Icke. His book, And the Truth Shall Set You Free, available for $21.95 at 1-800-551-5328. That's Med Marketing. All right, David, we have about half an hour left here. What subjects did you want to talk about? You must be getting a lot of increased data as you travel around and talk to people. You mentioned that, alluded to some cases of that recently. Do you see the UFO ET thing as really being the next trump card? Because I think as you well know, and many of our listeners may know, the weapons, if you want to call them that, for mind control are vast, varied, and highly sophisticated.
Yes.
They are so sophisticated, in fact, that quite apparently there is the ability to project holographic or holographic images into the upper atmosphere high in the sky, which can really, if you will, blow people's minds. And this is just one of many techniques to control people.
Yeah, appears to be the case, and I think that if you can do that, and I believe they certainly can, then you can manipulate people's religious belief systems big time for a start. You can put Jesus in the sky. Belief systems desperately want to be fulfilled, and I think this is an interesting point, an important point. They are always trying to condition us through our lives to take on belief systems. And belief systems are our head-based states of being. And if we feel instinctively something different to the belief system, often we will dismiss it and suppress the feelings because we stick to the belief system. And I think that, therefore, you can dupe someone in that mode very, very easily because they're desperate to have the belief system fulfilled. Therefore, they'll filter out anything that may lead to questioning of it. So I think that it's getting out of belief so much and into feelings is very important. How often do we have our intuitive feeling and our head is telling us something else, and invariably when the thing unfolds, if we'd have gone with our feelings, our intuition, that connection with the highest dimensions of our consciousness, we would have actually, things would have turned out better for us. And I think if you look at what happens with the way that we've been manipulated over a very long period of time, is that not only has the herd mentality been created, it's also been set at war with itself by the creation of belief systems, which are then played off against each other within the herd. So you've not only got the herd mentality, but the herd's at war with itself, with self-righteous belief systems trying to impose themselves. And it's interesting when you start to look at where some of these belief systems came from. The Jehovah's Witnesses were set up by Charles Taze Russell, a high-degree Freemason. The Mormons were set up by Joseph Smith and Brigham Young, high-degree Freemasons.
No, I didn't know that.
Was set up by Albert Pike, a Freemasonic god in America. So if you can set up these belief systems and then play them off against each other, then you're in a tremendous position of divide and rule. And I think it's time to get out of the head so much and into the feelings, what feels right. And so often you talk to people who are in a belief system, and they'll tell you that some of it doesn't feel right, but instead of sort of therefore questioning what they think, the belief system so powerful that they suppress what they feel and go with it anyway. And I think that part of the growing up of the human race, which is essential to bringing this to an end, is starting to accept that off-the-peg belief systems coming lock, stock, and barrel with names on are actually part of the childhood of human evolution. And no one's got all the answers, so if you take a belief system off the shelf, you're certain to have a lot of things in there that aren't right. And yet we seek this sense of security in looking outside of ourselves for what we believe, and therefore we take on these religions and these political things.
You know, David, there are more variations on that theme in our society now than even religious themes and so forth. We have in this country in the past 10, 15 years seen an explosion in the multi-level marketing industry.
Yes.
And I am finding within those various organizations, many of them, the same exact sorts of things you're talking about now. Belief systems, you must believe or you will not succeed in this company selling this product.
Yep.
You have to use it to believe in it. You've got to be a distributor in order to get the best price. And all of your friends, of course, are your warm market and on and on and on. This is all reinforced by a very powerful peer pressure that is designed as bedrock within each organization, and it uses simple psychological tools and weapons to keep people in line, keep them moving forward, pulling the wagon for the group. It's to me a little bit like a mini cult in some ways.
Sure, and again, we're starting to come round to how we started off tonight, because throughout I think the UFO investigation field and in what's become known as the New Age, there are also very rigid belief systems among groups that talk about free thinking. And again, once you enter a belief system, then you're a manipulator's dream. And I always work on the assumption or a saying that was attributed to Socrates in ancient Greece.
Which about 10 seconds.
Wisdom is knowing how little we know.
Well said. That sums it up. All right, David, we'll be right back with more here at the end of the line on the Premier Radio Network. All right, we're back with David Icke. David, this age is known for anything, I think, with its electronic underpinnings and limitless potential to reach out and affect people in profound ways. It might be known as the age of the runaway belief systems, because they are all over the place. I mean, I don't care, again, if it's a multi-level marketing meeting for a fat loss product where everyone's taking it and believing in it and hyping it and pushing it, or a down-home, holy roller religious evangelical retreat for a weekend. It's a total belief system. I think the mechanics are about the same in many ways, don't you?
I think the mechanics, remarkably, wherever I go, the mechanics are absolutely the same. I've come across New Age type centers, which are very clearly mind control operations, which are working on exactly the same principles as the classic mind control techniques. Destroy the sense of self and put a reactive personality in its place. And one of the things in the so-called New Age that is used to symbolize this process there is this thing about destroying the ego. In the name of destroying the ego, it's about taking away the person's sense of self, the sense of personality, and putting it into its place a reactive, actual belief system. And you know, we believe too much and we feel too little. And belief systems can overpower our feelings, and our feelings, what we instinctively, intuitively feel, that's the heart of us. That's where the wisdom's coming from. That's where the antenna is. And it's so important, I think, that we start to open our minds. Because what I said a few minutes ago, wisdom is knowing how little we know. What a belief system says is basically, although it may not admit it, that basically it knows it all. It's got the answers. This is how it is. And life's about evolving. And evolution can only happen if you keep your mind open to all possibilities and you feel and instinctively, intuitively feel your way through life rather than whacking a great manhole cover over your feelings and calling it a belief. And this is so important. It's not just esoteric navel contemplating we're talking about here. This is the very basis of how billions billions and billions of unique people have become unthinking sheep, following a belief system which symbolically is the sheep at the front of the herd. And no one says, excuse me, where was this decided? Where did this belief system come from? What's the background to it? What's its history? What was his history? Therefore, how did he come to that conclusion? We just take things lock, stock, and barrel. And I'm seeing this all over the place. I mean, the so-called New Age was supposed to take over from religion, and yet and reject religion, and yet it's become another religion, another rigid belief system in many of its areas. And if we go on like this, then we'll be divided and ruled, and we'll be led to the edge of the cliff.
David, the edge of the cliff. Is there some means of discerning, understanding, studying, coming to the conclusion that people have been more or less emptied of a lot of their own self-worth and made more prone to grabbing all these belief systems?
Yeah, I mean, I think people desperately are looking for something to cling on to. This is why people, I think, often do go for a religious, a rigid religious belief system, because it almost brings security and predictability into their life. There's a structure they can look at and say, yeah, okay, this is it. Because so much chaos is being created and so much manufactured change is being created and so much security, sense of security is being undermined that people are now starting to get really uneasy. They can't see the sense of security anywhere anymore, so they're looking for it in a belief system. And I think that the whole point is to get the security inside ourselves, in who we are as an individual. So we say, look, I'm going to live my truth, I'm going to speak my truth, and I'm going to follow what I individually, me, think is right. So I'm going to look at that, look at that, look at that, and I'm going to take what feels right, and I'm going to leave what doesn't. And then you're suddenly not a reactive human being, you're suddenly a thinking human being, a processing, filtering human being again, and now you are increasingly more difficult to manipulate. When we concede that part of ourselves to just following a belief, then whoever controls the belief controls us and everyone connected to it, and that's how it's done. If you can then play beliefs off against each other and create conflict through that, you've got another stage on the road of controlling people. So it really is in our hands, all this, and in our minds and in our hearts, and it's time to take responsibility for it. And the point you made earlier, I absolutely accept about the technology and electromagnetic fields and the radio waves, but it's my powerful feeling that the human mind, in its true power, is the most powerful force on Earth. A human mind in a fraction of what it is, in its belief system, in its reactive mode, in its unthinking, unprocessing mode, that's when the technology can overpower us and can control us and can put thoughts in our minds that lead us down a certain direction. My belief is, anyway, or my feeling is, not belief, that when you get into multidimensional mode and you start to become a thinking human being again and not a reactive one, then this technology, at the very least, finds it far, far more difficult to get in there and have an effect.
The book is entitled On the Truth That Shall Set You Free. The author, David Icke, my guest tonight, spelled I-C-K-E. And the book is available at 1-800-551-5328. Many, many of our listeners, David, have purchased the book and said just wonderful things about it. When people come up to you and talk about the book, are you planning to do a sequel to it now?
Well, I've just arriving in America, and funnily enough, it really syncs with what we're talking about, is a book called I Am Me, I Am Free, A Robot's Guide to Freedom, which looks at how we are controlled in all these subtle ways, how we allow ourselves to be controlled, how our thought processes are suppressed and guided into certain ways, and how you can go through an entire physical lifetime today without having one single original thought that started inside you.
That's true.
It hasn't actually started outside somewhere in a newspaper or someone else's opinion or whatever. And it's actually getting back inside ourselves and coming from within in terms of how we see life, rather than getting it all the time from outside in this manipulated world that is the key. And it's a book that looks how we can get out of this. And I think it's in these areas that the key is there to bring an end to this old stuff that we've been talking about. Because I think if we try to meet it purely three-dimensionally and purely with pressing for legislation of this, whatever, we're actually playing on the playing field that this controls. What it seeks to control, but we can't control if we take our power back, is the power of the human mind and the power of the human heart. And that's what's been suppressed, I think, for thousands of years. And as I go around the different countries, I do see increasing signs that more and more people are starting to take that power back. And if we do, and I think we will in the next few years, then this whole manipulation has lost its power base, because its power base is the...
By the way, the book, and I just lost you again, David, momentarily, I Am Me, I Am Free, I Am Me, I Am Free. Also available at the same number, 1-800-551-5328 for $19.95. The author, David Icke. And I don't hear a thing, Vince, so you're going to have to cue me if we're getting near the break.
Hello.
All right, good. Well, I lose it, so... But I'm here, too, and I'm hearing you on different dimensions, David.
Okay.
All right, now, what do we... When we come back, we're getting close to our break, but let's talk about... what you expect to happen here in the next 1, 2, and 3 years as we get toward the big 2000, which, of course, is being manipulated by a lot of people for a lot of different reasons.
Okay.
Say again. All right, where are we on it? All right. And welcome back. Our remaining 2 minutes with David Icke here. David, what do we see here in the next 2-3 years? Are we going to see more staged events to polarize the society about more death, more violence?
I think we're entering now the crunch time in all this, the next 5 to 10 years, particularly the next 5. And I think that, therefore, lots of cards are going to be played to basically advance all the things we've talked about tonight, to advance the chaos, the sense of insecurity, the sense of fear, so that we, as a race, will be pressured into saying, save me from what I'm manipulated to fear. Give me a sense of security back. I can't cope with this this chaos and this turmoil. And therefore, I think that the ante, as we say, is going to be upped in the next few years. And this agenda is going to be quite demonstrably moving quicker. Not least because I think that there is an understanding that there is an awakening going on. And they're trying to get the institutions of control and the microchipping and all this stuff into place as quick as they can, because with every year that passes, this awakening is definitely happening. I see it everywhere in the world. And more and more information is starting to get out. And therefore, I do think they're trying to push the agenda along. And I think it's important to emphasize also that this is not, at the moment anyway, an all-encompassing power. That I know that there was an agenda to remove Quebec from the Canadian Union as part of absorbing Canada into the United States by about 2005. And the year, I know this from documents that were available in the 80s, 1995 was the year they wanted Quebec to pull out. And they had actually the referendum. They orchestrated that perfectly in 95, but the people decided by a fraction, yes, but they decided to stay in. And that knocked the Canadian agenda out of its timescale. I'm still hopeful that Tony Blair, the chosen one for the next Prime Minister of Britain, the big-time chosen one, will not get in if the British people open their minds to what's going on a bit more. So I think that it's important to emphasize that while this is an agenda that's been unfolding a long time, and while there is tremendous manipulation going on, the power is in the end with us, and they're not yet all powerful, and I think it's important not to give them that level of power. But I do think, for these various reasons, the agenda is now, I think, falling a little bit behind, and also I think that the awakening's going on, and I do think, therefore, we're going to see a lot more events and a lot more obvious manipulation going on to de-scramblers, or scramblers, rather, in terms of religious belief systems. I can see revelations coming to light that question religious belief systems, which people see as their security, which will then throw them into turmoil, oh my goodness me, and then another belief system will be offered to them. So I think that if you look where a lot of the historical information is regarding many religions, not least Christianity, it's in the hands of people who have kept it under wraps up to this point. The Dead Sea Scrolls, what the Vatican knows about, the Vatican Library and all this stuff there. I can see that starting to be revealed in the next few years.
Right, well, we will see.
Religious belief systems and to crash economics and maybe even a major war
right.
to affect us on all levels.
We'll see. David, thank you again, and we'll stay in touch.
Okay.
Thanks very much. Good night.